I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Everyday Struggle podcast with DJ Academics Wayno and me, Nadeska. Now, we had another big week with a ton of releases to talk about from artists like Nas, J-Rock, plus Jay-Z and Beyonce, but unfortunately, the week got off to a very somber start as we took in the news of XXXTentacion's tragic death. The 20-year-old rapper was shot and killed in his car in South Florida on Monday, June 18th, after leaving a motorcycle dealership. And unfortunately, footage from the scene of the crime was circulated on social media.
X's music really spoke volumes, and he was helping out a lot of kids through his music. Now they're hitting me up like, yo, what do we do? Like, we feel horrible, like, what do we do? And we take so much things for granted. Me and X, we had a fight before he passed away, and that also replays my mind. I'm like, damn. We never, you know how you fight with your friends, you're like, yo, we gonna make up. We never really got a chance to make up, so that kind of plays in my mind constantly. But I will say for everybody, man, and I looked on social media, I seen some people say some really negative stuff, some really mean stuff about X. And what I could say about him is that he was a guy who was just mentally miles ahead of everybody else. Even in when it comes to music, his artistry was miles ahead of everyone else. I remember talking to him for the first time when he was in jail, and he was a guy who clearly had the odds stacked against him because of the past. And by the way, not here glorifying his past or anything he's ever been accused of, but he was a guy who was trying to get right. And for the last, like, 5 months of his life, he was living completely a different life than he lived even the year before. He was accepting the mistakes he made. He was apologizing to the people he wronged. And he was trying to do better. He was trying to do charities. He was trying to really even guide other artists who he saw go down a path that he once went down. So this is just senseless violence. We don't know exactly what happened. We don't know if it's anything to do with music, period. Or it could be the fact he's young. He's rich, and someone saw it like, hey, let's go rob him. I remember the conversations we would have. He was like, this is home, and he never felt scared of where he was at. So to see him lose his life there is just, it's shocking, it's sad, and I hope that justice actually gets served in this case. I don't know. I think I speak for me, all of his fans, and anyone who did know him or talked to him, like, we're all hurt.
Yeah, so my condolences go out to you because, you know, you lost a friend. You're not too big nor too small to appreciate a person, first and foremost, and especially an artist. Like, if you're an artist and now we have to lose him for everybody to say, oh, we care so much, you know, just reach out. You never know what somebody's going through. You know, this man passed away in a tragedy. And I hope that these young brothers and sisters out here could take a moment to just look at this and say, is it worth it?
While we wait for more developments in the investigation, X's longtime friend Ski Mask the Slump God is planning to host a charity benefit in honor of the slain rapper. Later in the week, we decided to take a look back at Kanye's sixth album, Yeezus. The project dropped in 2013, so the five-year anniversary seemed to be the perfect time to ask the big question, did this project actually age well? Now, of course, this is easily one of the most debated projects in Kanye's catalog. Debuted at number one, sold 327,000 copies in the first week, et cetera, et cetera. All right, yesterday we were already arguing about this in the green room. I just want to put it out there. I'm not going to say names. Someone on this team.
Not me or Ak.
Said that The College Dropout aged like sour milk and that Yeezus is a better album than College Dropout. Just want to know that was said.
But anyway, no, Yeezus is one of the worst albums I heard, period. It was futuristic. And you know what? The whole thing, I remember arguing a lot of like Kanye, I call them disciples, his stands, because they do follow and do anything. They'll drink the Kool-Aid. But I remember the defense for that album at the time was that it's so futuristic because it's mending and blending sounds. And it does. And it does. It does. You know what I mean? And
artistic.
You know what? If
we
know the influence of 808s and Heartbreak, mm-hmm. and you kind of, I look at that album different now because it did inspire a whole different sound. And with Yeezus, there's an attempt to blend a lot of different genres and sounds. I just got to say, not because you're the first to do it means you did it well.
So you feel like this didn't age at all. So think about when you first listened to the album versus how you feel right now.
Well, it aged well for me in the direction I was feeling. I felt it was trash then. Now I feel it's hot trash.
Okay, so.
I want to go through the track list with you guys, too, one by one. We printed it out. Wayno, you
do
go
we
first.
Do have to do that?
No, let's hear Wayno's overall opinion, man.
All right, so look. At the time, what was the last album we had got? It was My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Classic.
Right? And then Yeezus came after that. Even the 808s, right? When I first heard 808s, I wasn't psyched about it, and my man told me to listen to it again, and my assessment of 808s was it was the Love Below. Like Andre 3000's album, but with auto-tune and different sounds and shit. I think it was like kind of the same love narrative with futuristic sounds, right? So I was by the time I said that I liked 808s and Heartbreaks, a lot of people thought I was bugging, but I felt like Ye was going in a new direction. Mm-hmm. I feel like when Yeezus came out, Kanye finessed everybody. And the reason why I feel like he finessed everybody was because when I seen New Slaves, because we could only see it on YouTube, those project when people was doing it on their phones and uploading it to YouTube, and I'm listening to New Slaves, I'm like, oh shit. Nah, he about to come with some shit. Like, this is gonna be insane because New Slaves, I ain't gonna front, that's a classic Kanye record. That one record by itself.
This is the one where you said he had the best verse of all time, right?
Yeah, well, I don't think he's wilding saying that. he's wilding saying that, but New Slaves is a very, very, very,
is that
very
the only
song
on this album that you like?
No, it's not the only song I like.
I'm gonna tell you how Kanye West.
Wait, I'm not finished. I feel like he finessed us because at that point, that's when he did the artwork with nothing in it, right?
Right.
At the same time, he came out with a fucking white T-shirt that was $150.
After the whole shit on New Slaves, which was very confusing, but
I felt
you copped it?
No, hell no, I ain't copped that shit. Listen,
he got some Yeezys instead.
Later on, but I just felt like we was finessed by the time we got the album because remember, even with this album coming out, when we was talking about Ye, I was like, yo, I'm looking for him to talk about some social issues, some real shit, get back to how he was talking before. And New Slaves, he kind of had that in there, right? Then when I turned this shit on and I heard On Sight, oh my God.
Can we start there? So I remember hearing this. I think he performed it at Governor's Ball. And I saw it. I know a lot of people they love On Sight. I do like a few songs on this album a lot, but this to me, just personally, not as a critic, is the worst Kanye song of all time. It's just probably one of the worst songs to start.
This was the proof I needed that Kanye West in the studio with a bunch of dick riders and yes men. It was basically a headache in audio form. This shit was trash. And I'm gonna tell you how Kanye West finessed this. I'll expound on. I don't know if you were going there, but this is where I'm going with it. This when I realized that he finessed his giving us an album that was literally like the bullshit. And he said it later. He admitted it.
Well, Rick Rubin also said,
yo, I gave y'all some bullshit because I needed to gain some support. And my support obviously comes from music because I'm a musician to really get in the fashion door. So he gave us bullshit, literally bullshit. So he really finessed us after he gained so much trust. And, you know, everybody does that. Like, if you gain trust in your audience, there's going to be one time you mail it in, right? And oftentimes, you expect to be forgiven for that, but this was just pure fucking.
Let's go through the checklist. Okay. So we're not just shitting
on site.
Right, right.
So on site.
We can agree that none of us like on site.
We established what we feel about.
Yeah.
All
right. So black skinhead. Meh. I skip.
Yo, when I seen the checklist.
Yeah, I said I am a god.
Yo,
but I'm gonna tell you, you know what? The best thing. And this is still within this, but the best thing to come from this whole shit was the interviews that came out at that time. Because that's when we got the Houseway shit,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
But even some of those interviews, I ain't gonna mention no names, but people playing it like, this is really actually good. Like,
what?
Like, get the fuck. Right, exactly. Somebody did it.
There are some people who love this album. I actually wish we had someone here to like argue that point. But let's keep going down. I Am a God. I listen to this song.
Paid.
I like this song.
All right, yo, honestly, yo, most of this shit is trash. I just gotta tell you the ones who I do fuck with.
Okay, here we go. Karnak, whatever.
Bound to One, that's a great Kanye song.
Okay,
he kind of regained himself. I actually listened to that song thinking, this has gotta be an old song.
Produced by the Heatmakers, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Heatmakers did that. Remember the Heatmakers, all the Dipset sound, all of that.
Guilt Trip, I got Cudi on it. Loved it. That's another reason I couldn't wait for a Cudi.
Love, we say?
Yeah, love that.
I don't love that at all.
Guilt Trip, yeah, I love that.
Skip for me.
Skip.
Blood on the Leaves. Absolutely love that.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, blindly, yeah.
And what else is there?
I like Hold My Liquor as well.
Is that
I like the way he used Keith. I don't really like Hold My Liquor, but I love the way he used Keith on it. Like, I love his part.
Yeah, I just
part.
Like the darkness of the song.
Yeah, I like his part.
It's really, it's dope.
Trash. I'm not into that.
Okay.
I think New Slaves, and I don't think it's like one of his best songs. I think it's cool. But yeah. It's only five. My argument with this album
so
is
wait,
that...
Wait. You can't say there are five good songs and then say it's trash.
Right.
What? Five out of 10?
5 out of 10 is 50% from
the
three-pointer.
Are you...
Five...
If
Steph Curry has five out of 10...
For anybody watching this right now, if a teacher gives you a test with 10 questions and you get five, are you getting a B? You're getting an F. You failed.
But there's mad things
you
I can equate that to.
Hold on. No.
It's not good,
you can't... Don't use that
analogy.
If half is good, it's not trash. If eight...
Yo, the rest are trash. Yo, there's no... the I-ed ones I threw in the good pile. The rest are trash.
So not even good.
Okay, look.
All right.
I got three. All I have is three. I got New Slaves,
okay.
Blood on the Leaves, and Bound 2.
The only songs you like.
That's the only songs I like. Out of five, what are we giving you?
Don't even ask
No, out of five, I give it a 2.5 because I like half of it, the other half is trash. That's 2.5 out of five. That's a trash album to me.
Now, of course, our word is in scripture. I actually still have Ye fans in my Twitter mentions telling me that Yeezus is his best album to date. A pretty wild statement if you ask me. So I actually got Ak and Wayno to help me rank his entire discography from 1 to 8. I'm gonna run through the projects for you guys real quick just to refresh your memory. College Dropout in 2004, Late Registration 2005, Graduation 2007, 808s on Heartbreak 2008, Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy 2010, Yeezus in 2013, Life of Pablo in 2016, and of course, very recently, we got Ye. Wayno, would you like to go first?
Yes, I'd like to go first. So how I rank Kanye's albums is, number one, I got Late Registration. The reason why I got Late Registration, number one, is because it was, like, very musical, aside from just the sampling. Then I got College Dropout. After College Dropout, I have Graduation. After Graduation, I got 808s and Heartbreaks. After 808s and Heartbreaks, I got My Beautiful Twisted Dark Fantasy, number 5. Mm-hmm. Pablo, number 6. Ye, number 7. And Yeezus, number 8.
Interesting. I have a feeling our bottom two picks are all going to align, but Ak, let's hear yours.
Well, first of all, Kanye to me has three definite classics, maybe four. College Dropout goes first to me. Definitely a classic. Late Registration follows up in the same, in the order of how we put them out, too. Then third, a lot of people usually go Graduation. I go My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Whoa.
It's one of my...
We're tied so far.
In his musical catalog, I think this showcased probably the height of Kanye, from evolved sounds to not just the guy who was looping samples to, that was the height of his artistry to me. Graduation is after that, Life of Pablo, then 808s, Ye, then Yeezus. Mm. Which, do we have the same list? No?
Yeah, almost. I mean, we got
Your
the same
two changes. Are different, right?
Our first two are different.
So,
and then, well, I got Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy as 5.
5. Whoa. Yeah. What did you have before that?
I got Graduation is number 3, and I got 808s is number 4.
So I think Wayno has 808s higher on his list.
Yeah, for me.
How many classics do you think Kanye got?
3. And it's not.
Dark Fantasy is not one of them?
No.
Interesting.
What?
Not for me, no.
So my list was very similar to Axe. College Dropouts, easily my number one. Late Registration at 2. Dark Fantasy at 3.
There we go. Great minds think alike.
I'm surprised. I feel like we're agreeing more than ever this year.
No, bad mind.
You're not at all. I'm curious to hear your debate. I believe I had Graduation up at 4.
There we go.
Then I would put... It gets tricky for me around Pablo and 808s because I know that 808s had this incredible impact, but it's not necessarily one of my favorite Kanye albums to revisit.
So what you got?
Right now, I have Pablo over 808s.
So we tied so far with 3 to go. With 3 to go. We have the same list.
Unpopular opinion. And then Ye, cool album. Yeezus, easily. Easily his worst album.
Right. Okay, so me and the desk essentially got the same list.
Right.
And actually, our list isn't that much different. It's a matter of preference.
And like numbering.
If you have Late Registration first over like those songs might have like, there were some joints on both.
I love Late Registration, yeah.
I remember the feeling, that's why College Dropout always ranks number one for me. Like, I remember the feeling when I first heard some of those tracks and it was a different vibe completely. I felt like that album lived for a while. I'm not too sure when he put out the second one. Maybe it was 2 years after.
Well, nah, it was right back out. It was 2004 and then 2005. Yeah. And then it was 2007.
Back to back.
But
classics.
If we do have the track list,
here's a full. So if we're saying he has three, I feel like we're going to agree College Dropout, Late Registration are two classics, yes?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so now we're debating the third and possibly fourth.
I got Graduation.
Graduation. I love Graduation. I don't know that I would call it a classic, though.
But I think that's a fringe classic. It's like... It was one of those where I used to say it was definitely a classic until the more it aged. And I was like,
I might gotta revisit.
Not really. But I wouldn't be mad at somebody if they did say it is. So that's why I say 3 or 4. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is still a classic to me. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the best album that came out of, I believe, 2010.
Yep.
Which it had some stiff competition. It wasn't Good Kid.
Drake's first album was, no, Good Kid, Mad City was 2012. 2012.
Okay.
Yeah, 2012.
But I thought that was the best album that year. That's a classic. So that's three classics for Ye.
Yeah.
And from there, honestly, he went 808s before there, and then we got to there, and then I ain't gonna lie, it's been nothing but downhill. Cause I still can't fathom how he did Yeezus after that.
All right. So look. So 808s. I ain't gonna lie. First listen, I was like super thrown off because like music was so like. It still was like so gritty, and Kanye was like the only like shining light of something different, and 808s was so different from what he had previously done. I started to like 808s when one of my friends told me to give it like a, he's like, yo, give it a real thorough listen. And I'm a big fan of The Love Below, and it really reminded me of The Love Below, just by the sounds that he was using and the tones he was using with his voice.
I think, yeah, musically it's such an important album, but I don't know, for me it's just not something that I want to go back and
it's not a classic.
Often.
Like, it's definitely not a classic, but I actually liked it way more than I thought I would. The reason why I don't have, like, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy in there, I do like that album, but it was, like, it was witnessing Kanye really, really at a dark space as far as, like, him wilding. Like, that was the first... I got to see him wilding, and I wasn't used to that. Because remember, I mean, my opinion is a little bit different because I was around him early on in his career. So it was kind of like threw me off because I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But
it feels like Yeezus is the album where he put all the wilding into the music, which no one wanted. Well, not no one. Apologies. A lot of people wanted it. But
yeah, I mean, we all agreed that like he finessed us because, I mean, just the whole concept of Yeezus, Jesus, the Messiah, like all of those type of things, we thinking, oh, he's gonna come with some extra next shit, and it wasn't that. So,
and then it opened Jesus with is the on last site. One. All right, so Kanye has three classics. We're agreed? No, well, two. We're agreed on.
And we definite.
So three debatable.
Two definite. And we were having a conversation earlier about Cole because I think when we do stack these, again, Kanye is at the point where we're talking legacy, right?
Right.
And once we start talking legacy, I started looking through your catalog to say what's defining your career. How does that stack up, not only amongst the time it came in, the time period it came out in, but just all time?
Right.
And when people are thinking about how music changed, you know what I mean? Some people might say he has 4 or 5 classics. Some people think 808s is a classic just on impact.
Some people think everything Kanye does is a classic.
Yeah, that too, which is definitely not true. He's just trash, I'm sorry to say. But
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Some people, they really love 808s, and they believe because it ushered in a new sound, for what it did in changing the course of music, it has classic traits, right? Again, I wouldn't agree because I didn't love it that much, but do I respect its impact? Absolutely.
Right. Kanye does a lot of ballsy things. I mean, when you look at Late Registration, Jay-Z and Nas hadn't reconciled, and he put Nas on We Major. Mm-hmm. And this man is signed to Rockefeller Records at the time. Game is running around and, like, talking crazy about Rockefeller and Jay-Z, and he had Game on crack music. 808s, I thought it was, like, a big thing for him because it was something that we never thought we'd see. Remember, the way he kind of springed it on us was the MTV Awards. Like, he just popped out and just did Love Lockdown out of nowhere. And we like, what the hell is this? Like, you know what I mean? We wasn't used to hearing Kanye in that space. So I do salute him for his, like, for him trying to do new things. But he really missed the mark with Yeezus. Pablo felt like it was too many opinions in the room.
Interesting. I'm always curious about the critiques of that. I thought the production on it was great. But a lot of people ranked that below Yeezus, which kind of blows my mind.
What?
Pablo? Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, those people are those people, but nah, for me, definitely not. We got some of the songs we wanted. For me, with Yeezus, again, I understand it. It was just poorly executed, man. Like, I just can't rock with the sentiment that, yo, you know what, man? This was ahead of his time, and a lot of things that Kanye does, like 808s was ahead of his time, except to me, it's aight. You know what I mean? I'm not in love with it. So, all right, Yeezus was, yes, ahead of his time, but it was bad. And I think for Kanye, one of the things of him being a visionary is doing things first. But with me, I always said, and I said it at the time when it came out, I'm like, I get it that a lot of, like, stands and defenders like to say, hey, you can't understand it now, but you will in the future. But
that wasn't one of them.
That doesn't make
you know what? Like,
sometimes it makes sense, but he does it enough times that he can.
You did it the best.
Right.
I just don't get the whole thing of, like, I don't feel like Yeezus was ahead of his time because I feel like it really, a lot of it should have had no time. Like, honestly, like, I'm just being frank. Like, I feel like a lot of that shit really should have never came out. I mean, we all agreed upon, like, us liking around the same amount of songs. So when you put it as a body of work, and for people to say it's a, like, for people to, like, kind of call it ahead of its time, I'm like, ahead of its time, and what if it's trash? Like, how could you be ahead of its time if it's trash? You know what I'm saying? But I felt like that was, like, his biggest miss of his career as far as, like, solo albums. Yeah. But
and so for Pablo, you said you feel like it's too many opinions, it's all over the place. Ak, what did you think? His rapping, and we know Kanye's bars are open source, but there were some horrific lines. You know, the bleached asshole line Pablo is probably one of the worst.
I do have a theory, right? I believe Kanye West checked out of music himself. Like, you know, again, he does enlist help for a lot of what he does, and there's many great minds in the room when he's coming up with stuff, but Kanye is a studio rat, if we could use the term, and we would always look to him to be so obsessed with the music. It felt like once we got Yeezus, his passion was elsewhere. And what happens is that, like, yeah, you could even be even for Jordan at one point. Like, Jordan was the greatest basketball player ever, but at sometimes you are so good at something that you lose a little bit of passion because maybe you're not getting challenged enough there. And that was the signal to me that Kanye's passion was not truly with music anymore, and music was only the thing he needed to keep putting out to make everything else where his passions were going, like, thrive.
Around Pablo and or Yeezus, my fault.
Yeezus was that.
Right.
And I think he acknowledged, I don't think he acknowledged that, oh, okay, yeah, it was trash. And he did kind of say it was trash. He said it wasn't that good. But I think what he internalized from that going into Pablo was, yeah, I shouldn't go so left with it. Mm. There's a middle ground for it. And I think Pablo was him trying to still appease the people who are used to a different type of sound. And they expected just not him just force feeding this fashion stuff. But it still came across as, you know what, Kanye, like, you're different. Like, the stuff you're complaining about now, you're rapping about bleached assholes. It's much different. And coming into now, and by the way, I do believe the life of Pablo was saved by a couple of people. One,
Chance
most importantly, Chance the Rapper.
He killed that.
I then see after that with Ye, I think what we've seen in the media and now how we're seeing the music, the substance we're used to getting from Ye, it's changed. He's on some different wave. And of course, musically, I just don't feel like he's been the same ever since Yeezus. Yeezus was it, like...
Right. Well, you know what now, and this is a larger conversation, because when we look at all of these albums that we love and in the time frame of when they dropped, all of these were before Kim Kardashian.
I'm giving you that look because I like where you're going.
Yeah, like,
let's
like,
go there.
All of this. Nah, seriously, I mean, all of these albums, when we talk about, all right, now we know Dropout, Late Registration, Graduation, you know, he still had his mom, you know. His mom passed, 808s came out, when he started talking about love and heartache and all of that. You know, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, that's when we find out who Amber Rose is, all of those things, right? 2010, that's when that comes out. We don't get an album for 3 years, and then when we do get an album, he's in a new relationship and all of that, and Yeezus comes, right? Then Pablo comes, then Ye comes. And when we look at the first half of his career, and life gets in the way of a lot of things, but what I loved from Kanye was the confidence of the underdog, the braggadocious, fly dude that had consciousness about his people and about the world. Not just because Kanye never struck me as a person that was only about black people. Mm-hmm. He was heavily about black people, but he was about everybody else along with that. Now, after My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, look at the first half and look at the second half. What trajectory are we on musically? I'm not going to say who that man should have in his life and none of that. Mm-hmm. You know, he has his wife and his family. That's amazing. But I'm just talking about musically. It was a big shift once his relationship.
How marrying a super famous reality TV star affects you. And also, like, again, this frustration with fashion. It seems like while the rest of the world, especially as we're currently in the situation where we're fighting all of these like criminal justice issues, his big fight seems to be with the fashion industry, and it seems to have taken precedent over a lot of other things.
And to add to that, and my final point is perhaps ego, in a sense where I think fans kind of lifted him up to a place where Yeezus was him basically saying, I'm Jesus, when he has songs called I Am God. And that's when we start hearing a rhetoric of, I am this, I'm this. And mm-hmm. It's okay to feel like you're as great as other great people, but that's how he presented everything. I am this, so I need to be treated like that. Mm-hmm. Even, and I completely understand why the fashion industry was telling him, yo, fuck you at the time. Mm-hmm. Okay, great, you make some cool songs. Why the fuck should we give you millions of dollars to design some shit when we don't even know if you could do anything correctly?
Well, remember we talked about, like, a lot of the best things that came from this was just the content of his interviews. Yeah. Due to my faith, I would never call anybody God but God. But I did like one thing he said when he said, why they asked me am I a God? Because I am one. Would you like me to make a song called I Am a Nigga? Or I Am a Gangster? I understood where he was going with that. And that's why that little silver line in the hope you have where you like, yeah, Kanye, just fucking make a song that we all could just love and you could just talk some real shit and we could all appreciate, because that's what we appreciate you for. Now, I know that we're not going to get that College Dropout person because he's not the same person he was in 2004. I'm not even the same person I was last week in a lot of senses. So I just really had looked at this like, yo, look where it's going. Like, when you look at timeline and you look at career and you look at the pieces and the facets of what made him who he was, look at where it's at now. Right. And I don't think we'll ever get that.
It's true. Again. And I'm curious. I feel like people's lists, of course, are going to be affected depending on how much of a Kanye fan are you really? Are you like a stan, a super fan, a casual listener? I feel like your emotional, how you're connected to it matters. But look, we'll close on this. We're very curious what your list is. So Kanye's entire discography ranked. Please hit us on Twitter with your list at Everyday Shrug with 2 G's. If you want to hear reviews on more recent releases like J-Rock and Nas, hit up Everyday Struggle on YouTube. But I'll leave you with one final moment before I go. Drake's album Scorpio drops on June 29th, and he hasn't been feeling Academics' commentary about him on the show since he failed to respond to that Pusha T diss. So he got on the phone with Act to explain why things will all make sense in about a week.
Yeah, get that smirk. Every time he smirked when we talk about Drake, I feel like Pusha told him some inside joke that he laughed. That's what's happening, man.
I'm laughing at his face because he starts looking around and shit.
This guy,
go ahead, man. Good. My fault. That's good.
So, wait, I forgot.
I like that. I like the intro you're doing. Go ahead.
I know, but I got lost somewhere. I'm struggling Mondays. But anyway, tell us about this conversation. So, did Jay Prince lie to us?
No, okay. So let me break it down. So I got a couple sources. As you can imagine, everybody does. Wayno got sources.
You did right, but I tell my sources.
No. I can't stitch on the source. They've sent me way too many tracks that nobody has. So I have people who send me tracks, how they get it through leaks or if they're hackers.
But have you heard the Drake track?
No, I didn't hear it. Mm. But I heard about 5 to 10 other tracks from Drake we've never heard, including reference tracks. Now, reference tracks as in not people referencing for Drake, but Drake referencing for another artist.
Okay.
Like, I heard Drake referencing for Rihanna, a song that came out, though.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, Drake did that? I never knew. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which it does give a little different light to people who believe that Drake,
you know. So is this what he meant by it'll all make sense? You'll hear the songs I've been writing for other people?
No. Right. Not necessarily. But I heard of that track because the person who sent me those tracks, they heard it, okay, but they didn't have the song to send me, and they wouldn't send me anyway. Hmm. But from what I heard, the diss track to Pusha, right, that's not going to come out, was toned down and altered to be on Scorpion, mm-hmm. right? So I reported that as a rumor because, again, I didn't hear the track myself. Now, Drake did reach out to me and he said, listen, I didn't change no track at Pusha. Like, whatever that track is, that track is. If it's not going to come out, it's not going to come out. But he said, there's no Drake responding to Pusha
or
Scorpion coming in. Come on, man. That's good. Relax, man. But he did. But you know what I mean? It was the first time. It was such an honest conversation, though. Because as a fan, and like, I got to vent to him.
So you kept the same energy that you had.
Yeah, because he says, I've been noticing you've been going in a lot. I could imagine watching the show. Hi, Drake. And yeah, I'm going to go in because if it was Pusha who did the same, mm-hmm. oh, Pusha would be having a hard month. Okay, I would have been clowning. We couldn't talk about Daytona, okay? But it's the same thing I got to do with Drake, even though he's my favorite artist. And by the way, fans like me, we're disappointed that a guy that we kind of believed in him, in terms of him popping that shit on records and, yo, none of these niggas want smoke when it comes to battling. We believed you. So you kind of let us down. And you know what I mean? Like,
what's his response to that specifically?
His response is that from an outsider, I completely understand you feeling that way.
Okay.
But he said for him going forward, this situation with Pusha would have brought him to a dark place and a point of no return. These are exact words.
And nothing would be the same.
No. Well, again, I don't know. And I did tell him, I said, listen, I said, you have your reasons, clearly, but those are known to us. So an outsider and a fan, we are going to go in on you. I'm sorry. We're going to go in on you. And he did say, listen, he will have answers to this whole thing when his album comes out. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's a track at Pusha. I don't know if it's just
a Euro steps you at.
Okay, maybe he did.
No.
Maybe he did. But like this. If his album comes and we don't get no answers, we kill him again.
I'm sorry. He'll be hot at you today. You said he ain't put nobody else on. He'll be like, yo, Ak, I ain't put nobody on, man. Like,
artist? Rappers?
I'm fucking with you. I'm fucking with you.
Come on, man.
I'm fucking with you.
But yeah. So, for me, I was like, even though I don't want to hear no diss track to Pusha at this point, I do want to hear whatever this explanation is. I'm imagining it's some grandiose type of thing. So June 29th.
What kind of explanation would suffice? You must have a theory after all this back and forth with him. What do you think it's going to be? Literally just like, I've been writing all these tracks for other people.
No, well, this ain't about ghostwriting no more.
So what?
Like, I'm not going to lie, and Wayne could chime in on this. Mm-hmm. Drake remember that line he had when he said, "How you let the kid that's fighting ghost riding rumors turn you into a ghost?"
Yeah.
I think at this point, like, yeah, some people are going to think what they want to think. Mm-hmm. So some people think that, yo, he's using writers, and some people be like, yo, he worked with people for certain tracks, but he does a lot of shit himself. So your level of credit to him, I think, is already, like, set in stone for each individual person. Yeah. If you don't think he writes, you don't think he writes. Right. If you think he writes some of the shit, you think he writes some of the shit. If you think he's never used a writer, that's what you think. That's so I don't think he's trying to change that perception. I feel like... And I even said to him, I said, yeah, I'm a little disappointed when, yeah, homie might have hit you below the belt, because let's keep it real, right? The thing here is this exposal over the, yo, you're hiding a child and you're, you know what I mean, love your baby mama even though she was a porn star, all that type of stuff. I think that's the thing that would bring him to a dark place if I'm interpreting it, right? Now, what could be the explanation of that, right? I don't know, honestly. I don't know how you explain a rapper exposing you as a father and calling you a deadbeat, and you explain to the public,
I'm a superstar, I wanted my kids to have some privacy. I think there's some ways around it.
Yeah.
Did you wish him happy Father's Day?
Nah, man. I told him to pull up on Fortnite. No, because I don't want to get into all that. And also, you see, like, we make, like, light jokes over here about it. Like, that's a real situation for him. I'm not going to, like, toy with him. Like,
yeah, that's one
happy Father's Day, Drake, you know what I mean?
One thing I never wanted to jump in on was the whole Father's thing or whatever. But what I will say is that how I view Drake is this. I think that he's, like, he's going to go down as one of the greatest artists ever, right? Mm-hmm. But as in terms of rapping... Like, in terms of rapping, his pen has been in, wait a second, his pen has been in question since the whole, you know, the Meek shit. And I think that Drake just takes an idea and makes it a bigger idea. Because even when you heard, like what was it, Know Yourself? Like, that's Running Through the Six, right? When I heard the reference for it, I was like, this is dope, but he made it sound so much bigger. Now, essentially, that's taking somebody else's shit, essentially. But I just think that every time you hear him now, like, especially after this and he didn't respond and all of that, every time you hear him now, if you do hear him say something, people are going to be like, well, who helped him with that? It's like it just opened up a door for people to always feel that.
Yeah, but there was a time when I thought he was really bothered by it, and I think now he does. You know,
I wouldn't be bothered. Listen, I wouldn't give a fuck neither. But
but again, and I said to him, and this was an interesting part of the conversation we had too, but like on the Duppy freestyle, like, he kind of owned it. I mean, we know he did an interview, and people were like, what you mean you worked with him? Like, people were trying to figure out what that was, and he did another interview, which to me was horrible, where he said, listen, I collaborated. Even though y'all hearing reference tracks, I collaborated. Whatever you want to think. And I was like, that's bad. That's not how you respond to something that could taint your legacy. But on a Duppy freestyle, he said, listen, he says, homie helped me with a couple V's, but my hooks did it, my lyrics did it, my spirit did all that. So he was almost saying, fuck all that shit y'all talking about. I'm still me. Now, the conversation that me and him had, and because he said something to the effect of, like, I mentioned, like, he was that guy. You get me? And what I had to clarify to him was that, yo, all of this shit, ghostwriting, even the shit versus Pusha, this is a legacy conversation. Like, you're not, your career ain't gonna be done. Like, you're gonna drop an album killing us with hits. Like, you're gonna be running the charts, break every streaming record. Right. You're gonna have Grammys, all that.
Ain't about that, though.
But it's about... It's about your legacy at this point. Where on the Mount Rushmore of hip-hop you go, if you do go on it at all? Where in people's top 10, top 15, or wherever you rank at the end of the day? You know what does matter? Did this nigga write his shit? Damn, how he handled himself when the pressure was on, he was in a battle. Mm. These things matter. And for his legacy, yeah, his legacy takes a hit with him not responding.
But people and the internet have a very short memory. So
yeah, very short
to memory. Be seen. That's our show for the week. Thank you for tuning into the Everyday Struggle podcast. We'll catch you here every Friday.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.